Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 11 and verse 24. Concerning the church at Antioch. See if we can get the sound system going here. There we go. Okay, Acts 11:24. We have these words, "For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And considerable numbers were added to the church." No, I misread that. I misread it on purpose to make sure I got your attention. The people, great numbers were added to the Lord. They were saved. They were drawn into that saving relationship with Christ. But I also want to call your attention to the fact that the Bible says considerable numbers. Folks, numbers are important. They're not everything. They're not top of the list. It is not the thing that it takes highest place in our church. But I think it's interesting that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we have recorded here, as an effort of those who were establishing the church at Antioch, they had a lot of people. Great numbers. That is real church growth. There's a lot of talk about church growth, and we get concerned if we don't see that growth many times. But we need to keep in mind that the people that we want to see added to the church are first added to the Lord. They belong to Him. And as they come to the Lord and know the Lord, then it's very evident that it's biblical and right that they become part of a visible church. They knew that they had numbers. And the reason they had numbers was primarily because God was bringing souls to Himself, and those souls were finding their way in to the church, visible church. Taking part in that church, becoming involved in that church, knowing the people of that church. That's real, valid church growth. We've commented that, particularly in our day, and I've lived long enough to see it develop over the years, this emphasis on numbers. Gotta have the numbers. And we have come to the place where numbers is the dominant driving force of the church. As if more important than anything else, the numbers. So much so that churches will go to any length to attract numbers. Entertainment, watered down preaching, a very casual type of worship. And a lot of that is done on purpose. It's on the purpose of doing anything that it takes to get the numbers. Now, we see here in the book of Acts that numbers count. Numbers are important. There's an interesting comment here in Acts chapter 11. And I want to point out something to you, that because as the numbers increased, so did the likeness to Christ. A growing evidence of a likeness to Christ among the people. Isn't that what we want to see in our church? We want to see you and you and you growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. We want to see in you the presence of Christ being a reality and carry it out in your home life, in the place you work, the raising of your children. Acts 11 and verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. Notice this. And the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. There was so much growth to Christ's likeness that those who were on the outside observing these people who were in the marketplace or who knows where, but in the public, it became so obvious that they nicknamed these people Christians. A derogatory term. Now that's what is a very real, vital part of church growth, is people coming to Christ and becoming like Christ. And that's the foundation of a biblical church. I say biblical because I believe there are churches that are not biblical. They're not based on or built on scriptural principles. I've used the illustration, but I think we have some who have not heard that illustration. So I'll repeat it because it further illustrates what I mean. In Rocky Mount, had a ministry with the migrants who come there every year to harvest cucumbers and sweet potatoes and tobacco. And we had the opportunity, the opening, to go to one of the camps. There were probably 200 or 300 men in that camp. And we had our own little building and a place to meet, and we go on Monday night and hold a Bible study there with the migrants. And those became our dear friends, week by week, ministering to them. But on one occasion, as I was going around the camp inviting men to come, I approached this man to invite him. I had never seen him at the camp. He looked at the invitation I gave him, and in Spanish he said, "Usted son de los hermanos," meaning in English, "Are you some of the brethren?" And that can be used as a derogatory term. It's because they hear us saying, "Brother so-and-so," and "Brother so-and-so," and they pick up on that and they say, "Oh, that's the brothers. Son los hermanos." So I ignored the question and said, well, I'm from Rocky Mount and I want to invite you to come to our Bible study this evening. ¿Usted son de los hermanos? He insisted again. He asked me, are you of the brothers? And I said, yes. He said, I'll be there. And long story short, God saved that man. He's being considered, I think, for a second elder in our church in Puerto Rico. The illustration simply is this, that at Antioch, Christians, see those Christians over there? That's the atmosphere of what was going on around this church in Antioch. And so, look at 1 Peter 4:16. First Peter 4:16. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, a biblical Christian, a true Christian, let him not feel ashamed, but in that name let him glorify God. This word Christian is a diminutive for the word, and it means little Christ. That's the literal meaning of it. A little Christ. Whatever it was, something was happening in Antioch. Something good. There were no three-ring circuses. There were no dramas. Just a church, and it grew. But there's something else that was growing, and is a very real part, and should be a very real part, of a church. It was growing in its usefulness. Its usefulness in advancing the kingdom of Christ. Again, while we're there, let's go to the book of Acts. And we see the gospel breaks out in new frontiers as the Spirit of God separates Saul and Barnabas for missionary work. Look at Acts 13 and verse 1. Now there were at Antioch in the church. No doubt about it, there was a church in Antioch that hadn't been there before. Prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and so on. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God. Where? In the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John as their helper. Growth in number. Great. But wait a minute. What about great growth in usefulness? Of getting the gospel out to the regions beyond, and to seeing others brought to Christ. I certainly admire, and I'm sure you do, the many great missionaries of the past and of the present. The hardships they face, sometimes doing without dire necessities, even to the giving of their life. I'm sure most of you are at least aware of the name of Jim Elliot, who was martyred with four other missionaries. Think of it, young men ministering to pagans and were martyred. Jim Elliot, in his biography, if you read it, autobiography, seems many times to make mention of the fact he felt like he would die early in life. It comes out in his writing, statements that he makes. And he did die early. But that was the result of him being under the Lord's direction early in his life and sensing God's call upon him to go to the regions beyond to give out the gospel. Back in the early 60s, myself and two other brothers, we actually drove a car from Dallas to Guatemala, Honduras, on a trip to visit missionaries. That was quite a trip. Took us a month to drive there and back. But what a joy to meet missionaries laboring with an organization known as Central American Mission. One of the highlights of the trip was to visit some missionaries who were up in age, living in Guatemala, ministering to Indian tribes that didn't have the Bible in their language. And we happened to be there for a few days when they received back the first copy of the New Testament that they had translated into that language of that Indian tribe where they were living. And I cannot tell you the overwhelming joy they had. They were almost in tears from joy. They couldn't hold it back because they had in their hands the labor of years of learning a language that had never been written, learning to speak it, learning to write it, and translating the New Testament into that language. I want to tell you something, folks. That's real church growth. That's real church growth. Because there would be how many people through that New Testament in their language come to know Christ and being added to Christ, and the missionaries holding services in a church. That's really church growth. Now, I want us to consider the next truth. The church in Antioch grew because the Lord added to the number. And we see that these who have been added to the number cleaved to the Lord. Cleave to the Lord. Now, what do I mean by that? He exhorted them to cleave, that is, to remain in attachment to the Lord. Certainly part of the church, if that is a biblical church, but not cleave to the church. Where is the real attention? It's in your relationship to the Lord. A true church will minister to you in a way that will cause you to grow in Christ and in the knowledge of Him. And if that's not happening, something's wrong. Because you see, church growth in numbers is worthless if it's not drawing people to Christ in a personal relationship, seeing them get saved, seeing them grow in Christ, see them cleaving to the Lord. And as your pastor, I want to say to you from my heart this morning, the thing that means most to me is to see you growing and maturing in the Lord. More than anything else. One writer has said this, the most difficult work in conversion is winning the heart to Christ. And the most difficult of the Christian life is keeping the heart with Christ. And that's what we long to see here in the church that the Lord's been pleased to give us. Their hearts were won for Christ. Now Barnabas comes along and he's continually doing what? He's exhorting them with a deep, settled purpose. The word is used in Romans 8:28. We are called according to purpose. And that purpose is that you know Christ and that you grow in Christ. And that means remaining faithful in your attachment to the Lord. That will be true of a church that's persevering under the direction of Christ, the head of the church. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11. And we have an interesting comment about Barnabas. Then when he'd come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain again, see the emphasis, true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Again, we see these words, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. He encouraged them to a faithful, resolute heart commitment to the Lord. Why did he say that? Why did he do that? Because he was a godly man. And it was out of his knowledge of Christ and of God that compelled him to encourage others, remain true to the Lord. That's a vital part of the equation of a biblical church, of a biblical ministry, seeing men added to Christ and seeing them walk with the Lord in faithful commitment to Him. Spirit-filled men are to be instruments through whom the Holy Spirit does His most delightful work. And what is the Holy Spirit's delightful work? It's to reveal Christ to you and to you and to you and to others. This good man, full of the Spirit, filled with a passion, that Christ be precious to each one. Why are we here? Why are we doing what we're doing? Because we feel compelled by God Himself to be missionaries, to get the gospel to you and others that God would be pleased to bring, and see you growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I submit to you, that's real church growth. Not just numbers, but growing in grace and in the knowledge of Christ our Lord. Let's close in a time of prayer. Our gracious God, we pray that you will cause us to know your presence individually, day by day, in our routine of life. We pray that we might know your felt presence as we assemble ourselves together to worship each Lord's Day. And we do pray, Father, that our ministries will be such as it will encourage and help and see each one growing in grace and the knowledge of you. We pray that you will add to our number those of your choosing, and help us, Lord, to be faithful ministers to each one, that we may see it week by week, souls growing in the Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.